Hare Krishna, everybody. Hare Krishna, Madan Sundar Prabhu. So we are beginning with 28 today, right?
Yes, 28 verse.
So friends, the story so far. Arjuna has told Krishna to take the chariot in the midst of the two armies. Krishna has done that. And we saw Arjuna saying that I am in a terrible shape. Basically, was overwhelmed with compassion. And this is what Arjuna is saying. So we are beginning with text 28, chapter 1. Arjuna uvacha drishtvemam svajanam Krishna yuyutsum samupasthitam sidanti mamagatrani mukham chaparishushyati. Arjuna said, my dear Krishna, seeing my friends and relatives present before me in such a fighting spirit, I feel the limbs of my body quivering and my mouth drying up. So this is very strange. In the Mahabharata, we have Arjuna who has fought with Gandharvas. He has fought with Lord Shiva. He has fought with... I mean, there is practically no known archer or warrior who can face Arjuna. So for someone like that to say that I'm confused, that's like very strange. So this is a deep topic, and I would just take one point from Srila Prabhupada's explanation that first of all, compassion is seen as a good godly quality. So seeing his kinsmen, friends and relatives on the battlefield, and seeing, now we are seeing Arjuna overwhelmed with compassion, it shows that he's a very decent person, he's a very good person at heart. As far as his soldiers, he was very sympathetic right from the beginning. Now it seems he has compassion even for the soldiers of the opposite party, seeing their imminent death. And then a big warrior like him saying that my limbs of my body are quivering, my mouth is becoming dry. In fact, he was more or less astonished to see their fighting spirit. Why have all of them come here? All blood relations of mine. Ah, this is too much. I can't bear. I just can't do anything. This is what is happening to Arjun. What would you say?
Oftentimes people say that the war happened because it was the will of Pandavas. Yudhishthira wanted to be for the kingdom. I would say this again here is an evidence that actually Pandavas were not interested for the war. Because Arjuna became compassionate. He was actually, he didn't want to fight the war. He said, okay, we'll see ahead the reasons that Arjuna gave, which you kind of summarized last time in the last episode. And in fact, at the end of the war, when the whole 18 days of war ended, then everyone had to plead with Yudhishthira Maharaj, please accept the kingdom.
Yeah.
So we see a similar incident. Now here, Arjuna says, I'm not going to fight. At the end of the war, Yudhishthira says, I'm not going to accept the kingdom. And Prabhupada makes a point in this particular verse that we just read, the purport. Prabhupada writes, such symptoms in Arjuna were not due to weakness, but due to his soft-heartedness, a characteristic of a pure devotee of the Lord. And then Prabhupada quotes the very famous shloka by Prahlad Maharaj from the fifth canto. So it's just a natural symptom of being a pure devotee. They least bother about this material possessions. And Arjuna was really astonished, as you said, seeing that, for what have they assembled here? We're just asking for our rightful claim. They've stolen our things. And to steal things that belong to us, they've come over here. And everyone knew what would be the future of this war. Millions of people would die on the battlefield just to gratify or satisfy one man's greed. Or you can say two men's greed, Duryodhana and Dhritarashtra. So he has all the reason to be astonished. But it indicates Arjuna, Pandavas, they were least interested in the war. Just being a pure devotee of the Lord.
Very true. Continuing further on the theme of compassion, just as a contrast, here we have Arjuna being completely overwhelmed with compassion, And then you have Duryodhan, who has no such feelings. Does it mean that, you know, it is very manly not to have these feelings? And it's like very, very, you know, like a sissy to have these kind of feelings? No. Let us make one thing very clear. Arjun is a devotee. He is ready and willing to excuse enemies. Now the thing is, even if devotees excuse those who insult them, it is Krishna who takes a very different position. A devotee can say, "My Lord, I don't take this as an insult, I deserve this." Now that doesn't mean that just because the devotee has said, Krishna also takes the same position. No, Krishna could be strict on this matter. Krishna will not excuse or tolerate any insult to his devotees. So, right through the ages, the acharyas say, if you want to please Krishna, never offend or insult his devotees. And here, now this is slightly controversial point, one has to be prepared to fight so-called relatives when that is a part of Krishna's plan. So, Arjun was never a coward. Nobody throughout the pages of Mahabharata could find one single instance where Arjuna has abandoned the battlefield just because of cowardice. He's a competent warrior. But now, this is where the Gita takes things in a very philosophical way. Dehatma Buddhi, the bodily concept of life. Arjuna has admitted, Drishtva tu Swajanam Krishna. Krishna, I have to kill my own men, my own relations. Hey, what is this own men? Why others are not your own men? Oh. Everyone is own men. Because Krishna is the father of all living entities. Krishna explains that in the Gita later. I heard a very, very sweet example, especially those in the Indian subcontinent or maybe where traditional family connections are maintained will understand this. Like a traditional marriage, the girl is married, and in one day, on that day itself, she sees something like 35, 45 new connections. This is mother-in-law, father-in-law. This is sister-in-law number one, sister-in-law number two, sister-in-law number three. This is brother-in-law. This is brother-in-law's second son. This is brother-in-law's third son. So, why 30 connections done in a day because of connection with one person? The husband is the pivot. And all these connections are, they were already existing. But the blood connection was not made. So it is said that by understanding Gita, you just have to be connected with one person, the Supreme Person, Purushottama, Sri Krishna. Once that is established, you can see your connection with everybody around you, the world around you, every living being around you, every inanimate object around you, the universe around you. Quite beautiful, isn't it?
Beautiful example. I was just thinking about it is said in our literatures, Vasudeva Kutumbakam. I guess this example completes the definition of Vasudeva Kutumbakam. They say the world is our big family. It's only a family as long as we relate and identify with the Supreme Lord.
Yeah.
A beautiful example.
Krishna says, I am in everyone's heart. So, this is from a nice class Prabhupada gave in 73 in London, that when one becomes spiritually enlightened, that person can see everyone as my own. Today, in this high-tech digital world of connectivity, we just say, simply connect, simply connect, simply connect. How do we do that? It is proven in a study by Harvard Medical School that more social media connectivity makes you lonely. Just the opposite of what you're trying to achieve. Here is something. Start your connection with Krishna. It is as simple as beginning to chant Krishna's holy name. And once that connection is there, everybody becomes your own. When a person is not spiritually enlightened, this is what happens. This person sees only people from the bodily relationship, and that is the defect. So although we may say that like Prabhupada in the beginning says, anyone who has genuine devotion to Krishna has all the good qualities which are found in godly persons, whereas those who are not spiritually astute, not cultured, not trained up, however advanced they may be in material qualification by education and other attributes, they lack in those spiritual qualities. So what is a defect, which actually is a good thing, material compassion, but that also can be a defect if one doesn't have the connection with Krishna.
So we are calling it as a defect largely because Arjuna has got into this eye and mind consciousness. Am I correct?
Eye and mind based on, these are my people. Swajanam.
Swajanam. Yeah. That's the reason this quality of compassion has become a material compassion. And that's the reason why you said it is. So compassion here. Makes sense. So as you have been highlighting in the previous podcast also, so everything begins with understanding my identity. I mean, this is a very interesting concept, because when I was growing up, I believe many would have similar incidents. There was a genuine identity crisis. I mean, of course, not a spiritual identity crisis. I'm not saying that. But in the sense of just even where do we stand in this world? Who am I? And that basic understanding. You know, we have so many different faiths and different identification and groups. What group do I belong to? What religious identity? What faith do I belong to? Am I an atheist? If I'm a theist, what theist I am? Looks like there is constant identity crisis. You know, somebody says that, okay, there is no crisis in my life. I don't need message of Bhagavad Gita right now. But there is one crisis for sure going on in your life. That is identity crisis, not understanding which group you should be part of.
Prabhu, I had read somewhere that in the developed West, which we Indians so adore, we want to get jobs there, we want to go for sightseeing there, their thoughts come and influence our traditional thinking here. It's not so much over here, but why there is so much of football hooliganism? Like people buy their favorite team's paraphernalia, t-shirts, mugs, and caps, and a team wins, the other team just come with sticks and they bash their opponents. So somebody was asked, what's all that? He said, well, the situation today is so vacuous, so empty, that you need to be with something. So it's the football team, it's like your tribe. You all flock together. Same thing with music. You become fan of some pop star, some rock star. I heard that one person would abuse his fans. And somebody was asked that, you know, don't you get offended that you pay your hard-earned money and this guy hurls abuses at you? So this boy said, at least he acknowledges that I exist. At home, in a job, at college, school, society, I just don't have any identity. I just don't know who I am. I need to belong to something. And just see. So the so-called industriousness, which I actually agree that the West is more structurally advanced than us, systematically advanced than us. Their technology actually works. Their society functions in some aspects. But in this aspect, as to what's my identity, where do I belong, there's a big, empty, helium-filled balloon, big, large, imposing looking hot air, nothing but hot air inside.
Would it be okay if I may say this, add to this, because not knowing where we belong to, we have been heavily exploited all our life.
It has to be. It has to be. Either I exploit you or you exploit me. Correct?
Fully taken advantage of our ignorance.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So important subject matter. So we have 29th verse also to read, Prabhuji, on this?
Yeah. So since Arjuna is now saying that these are the physical symptoms of his malady, his problem, that my limbs are quivering, my mouth drying up. What next, Arjun? So text 29, chapter 1. Vepatuscha sharireme roma harshascha jayate gandivam samsrate hastat tvakchaiva paridayate. My whole body is trembling, my hair is standing on end, my bow gandiva is slipping from my hand and my skin is burning. These, I did some kind of reading, these are similar stress-related symptoms even today. So from one angle, nothing has changed. What was stressful 5,000 years ago is still stressful. So, Prabhupada says here, there are two kinds of trembling of the body and two kinds of standings of the hair on end. Roma is a hair in Sanskrit, Roma Harsha, hair standing on end. Vepathu is the body being, body starts trembling. So, such phenomena occur either in great spiritual ecstasy or, on the other hand, great material fear. Now, there is no fear in transcendental realization. Fear is concomitant with you losing something, whether your body, whether your wealth or whatever. In the field of transcendence, there is abundance. There is nothing like, there is no loss. Therefore, there is no fear. So then why are these symptoms, why are they visiting Arjun? Arjuna's symptoms in this situation are out of material fear, that is loss of life. So this is evident from other symptoms also. He became so impatient that his famous Gandiva bow was slipping from his hands. And heart is burning within inside. So he has a burning sensation of the skin. And Prabhupada kind of sums it up by saying, this is all because of a material conception of life. Now this is something where people who read the Gita a little bit assiduously find that, hey, wait a minute. First you commend Arjun, you appreciate his compassion, and now you are saying it's material. What gives? Just choose one. So the understanding is both can coexist. Because Arjuna was a good man, a Vaishnav, compassionate, so that compassion came forth. Now when that compassion is being compared with the kind of transcendental wisdom or whatever Krishna is offering, compared to that, it falls short. Here what is needed is transcendental knowledge. And in fact, this is what Arjuna would later demand from Krishna. He would tell him that, Avapya bhumava sapatnam riddham rajyam suranam apichadipatyam. Don't think I am fighting this for some kind of land or gold. Even if an unrivaled kingdom is given to me, I want transcendental knowledge. And as we rightly discussed in the previous episode, this is what you and me are supposed to do. That what I want is knowledge, knowledge of my identity. And therefore, the last word of this particular purport, chapter 129, seeing everything, Prabhupada gives you a simple certificate. This is all because of a material conception of life. So, I come to the end of my points here. You have to add anything?
Just one thing that I heard regarding this, that in 28th verse, Arjuna is glorified, his compassion is glorified. Whereas in 28th verse, Srila Prabhupada is criticizing the symptoms of his compassion which have been described. So if in any way, you have already explained that, the only other way, kind of a little slightly different outlook which was mentioned, is being a pure devotee, his compassion was natural. Therefore, he was glorified, his compassion was glorified. But whereas in text number 29, is kind of now he's giving an indication that he's not going to perform his duty. So because compassion is okay, but giving up duty, that's a weakness of heart. Therefore, that compassion which resulted into sense kind of a fear is being criticized in text number 30. So again, the duty at any cost, you know, when somebody has this transcendental knowledge, how much ever confusion, how much ever crisis or difficult situation may come up, the person does not misses out on performing his duty. We all are here to perform some work, some responsibilities we have to carry out. And the foremost is our responsibility towards, in our relationship towards the Lord. Wherein Arjuna has got confused about it, and now he's going to say, I am not going to fight. Therefore, he has been criticized here as having a material conception of life.
True.
So we take it forward next time with the next set of words. All right. So thank you all for joining in. Thank you so much.
Thank you all. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.